This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. We're in the middle of a series of sermons on getting my life back on the right track with God. And what we've been talking about over the last several weeks is the necessity of change in our lives. That if we want to get different results from what we've been getting in any area of our lives, there's got to be some change. I want to lose some weight. I don't want to hear anybody say amen. But you know, this is a hard truth. If you want to lose weight, you got to make some changes. Amen? Amen? You can't continue to eat the way you've been eating. You can't continue to be on that couch when you ought to be out walking. If you want to get different results, you've got to change. Whatever is going on in your life, God says, you need to change. We've been looking at a passage in Ephesians chapter 4. And the interesting thing about this passage is it really describes what a Christian is to be from the moment that you're born again. See, you don't get any slack on this stuff. This is the stuff that is supposed to characterize us as believers from the moment that we accept Christ. Anybody here who never gets angry? We all get angry, amen? It's a part of being human. If you never got angry, I would know that there is something wrong with you. Because you know what? God built anger into us. Did you know that? God built anger into us. Colossians 3:8 says this. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. First in line, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. The first thing he says is you need to put off anger. Get it out of your life. Now, if God invented anger, how is it that we need to put it out of our lives? There's a very good reason that God commands us to deal with anger. If we don't deal with the anger in our lives, if we let our anger control our behavior, it will destroy us. Anger uncontrolled in your life will destroy you. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. You see it? God says you shouldn't even associate with somebody who is habitually angry. Always got an angry attitude. Because you might learn his way. And if you learn his way, it will be a snare, a trap for your soul. You'll find yourself bound by anger. And that anger will get in the way of you receiving the blessings that God intends for you to have. I want you to look at a story with me. 2 Kings in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 9. And we're going to look at the story of a man whose anger almost kept him from receiving the blessing that God had in store for him. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 9, but let me tell you the story. Naaman was a high Syrian military official. And he came down with leprosy. And there was an Israelite serving girl who said, you know, Master, if you could just get to Israel, there's a prophet in Israel. And I know that if you could just get to him, God would heal you through him. And Naaman believed her. And he went, came to Elisha, the prophet, and wanted to be healed. Look at what happened when Elisha told him what he needed to do. 2 Kings chapter 5, starting with verse 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Have you ever expected God to do something a certain way and he didn't do it the way you expected him to do it? Naaman said, I got this thing figured out. I'm going to go up to him. He's going to stand over me. If it was in today's context, you'd say, what he's going to do is he's going to take a little oil and anoint me with oil, and then he's going to put his hand on me, and he's going to call on the name of the Lord, and I'm going to be healed. Instead, Elisha didn't even come out. Said his servant, go tell him, go down to the river and dip himself 7 times, and he'll be okay. And Naaman said, that makes me so angry. Look at verse 12. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him. And they said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, Wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, do you see how close Naaman came to losing his blessing? His anger stood between him and receiving what God already had in store for him. If that servant hadn't gotten his attention, got him to turn away from his anger, this man would have gone home still angry, still furious, still saying, I went to the man of God and he couldn't heal me. But it wasn't because God failed. It was because he let his anger get in the way. Now you say, well, wait a minute, I would never do something like that. No, I know better than to let my anger get in the way of God giving me the blessing I need. Men, those of you who are married, how many of you have ever had your wife tell you something you didn't want to hear? Let's see some hands. Amen. Come on. Yeah. Don't be perpetrating on me back there. Amen. Now, ladies, it probably works for you the same way, but see, I know about the men. Your wife comes to you and she says, look, here's where you're messing up in this area. And here's what you need to do to correct it. And what do you say, man? You look at what she said. You know she's right. Amen. You know she's right. But does that mean you're going to do it? Uh-uh. The fact that she is telling you what to do, what does that make you? Mad. Angry. Furious. Amen. And so what do you say? No way. There'll be a certain place way down yonder that'll be frozen over before I do what she tells me to do. Isn't that what you do? Now, why do you think God gave you a mate who could tell you what needs to be corrected in your life? Do you think he did that to harm you or to bless you? Amen. So when you make up your mind, I'm going to be furious because she's telling me what to do, instead of taking heed, what are you doing? You're throwing away your blessing. You're letting your anger get in the way of your blessing. Isn't that right? So there's a lot more Naamans among us than we would want to admit. Amen? Now, like I said, ladies, I suspect it works exactly the same for you, but I'll just speak for us. You can examine your own heart today. Amen. You see, it's easy to allow our emotional reaction to get in the way of doing what we need to do in order to receive the blessing that God has for us. Look at what else God says about anger. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. Look at this. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. A furious man abounds in transgression. You know what that's telling us? Our anger tends to lead us into sin. When we are in the grip of anger, when we're reacting emotionally to the circumstance, we tend more often than not to fall into sin. I want to show you an extreme example of that. Go over to Genesis chapter 34. I want to look at two of the sons of Jacob by the name of Simeon and Levi, who got angry for a very good reason, but the result of it was deep sin. Starting with verse 1 of Genesis chapter 34. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. His soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this young woman as a wife." Now, do you catch what's happening here? Let me just translate it to make sure everybody understands. Dinah went out. Shechem saw her, took her, and raped her. But he was so attracted to her that once he had done that, he says, "I want to marry her." So he went to his father and said, "Father, go to her folks, arrange it. I know I messed up with her, but I want her to be my wife." Now look at what happened next. Go to verse 25. Excuse me, verse 7. Genesis chapter 34, verse 7. And the sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved and very angry, because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. They were furious because this man had raped their sister. Now, did they have a right to be angry? Oh, yes. Was it an excusable thing that Shechem had done? No. And so they were absolutely furious at what he had done to their sister. Look at what they did about it. Genesis 34, verse 25. Now it came to pass on the third day when they were in pain, and let me stop for a moment. What happened was Hamor and Shechem went to Jacob, said, I want to marry Dinah, as Shechem said. And what Jacob said, or what the sons of Jacob said to him was, "Look, if you want to marry her, you've got to become one of us. You've got to be circumcised." And that was a very painful operation for an adult. So what was happening was, see, these guys had it already scoped out in their mind. They knew that once that operation took place, it was going to be several days that these men would be in so much pain, they couldn't operate. And that was what their plan was. So let me start again at verse 25. Now it came to pass on the third day, when they were in pain, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. You see what happened? Because of their anger? Because of their fury? Oh yeah, they had a reason to be angry at Shechem. But look at what their anger caused them to do. They went and they killed every man in the town. People who had no part in what Shechem had done. Killed Shechem and killed his father too. What happened? It was their anger. And that anger led them into a worse sin than Shechem had committed. Look at what the father, Jacob, said about it. Go to chapter 49 of Genesis and verse 7. "Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Do you see? Jacob looked at what his sons had done, and he said, Cursed be your anger. Your anger has led you into a sin that dishonors God. Anger. How many people do you think are in jail today because of their anger? How many people have been killed by a bullet from a drive-by shooting because somebody was mad? Anger can lead you into deep, deep sin. But again, I know you're saying, I would never do anything like that. You know, I would never let my anger push me to that extreme. No, I'd never do that. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been so mad at somebody that you lashed out at them verbally? Amen. Have you ever torn down somebody with your mouth? In fact, have you ever been in such an angry, frustrated mood that the first person that came into the room got it, whether they were involved in your situation or not? Amen. Understand this. Uncontrolled anger is a destroyer of relationships. A destroyer of relationships. Simeon and Levi cut their people with the edge of the sword. But you know what the sharpest weapon you can cut somebody with? It's your tongue. Most of us don't have any swords at home, but man, we got a tongue. Amen. Mm-hmm. Anger. Uncontrolled anger destroys relationships and moves us into deep, deep sin. Look at Proverbs 19:19. It says, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. You see what the word is saying? If you're the kind of person who allows your anger to run away with you, to spill over into the way you deal with somebody else, God says you're taking yourself into punishment. You're going to be punished. You're going to have negative consequences that will come back on you. Now, I want to give you 7 keys to handling your anger. First of all, the Bible says we need to be slow to anger. Amen? James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Catch this, verse 20. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Have you ever been mad with somebody and you felt like you were righteously angry? You're tearing them down, you're stomping all over them verbally. And you felt like you had every reason in the world after what they did to you. You felt you were doing the work of God. And yet the word of God says the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Do you see what the word is saying? You feel like you got angry because of what they did to you. In fact, how do we say it? You made me mad. Isn't that what we say? You made me mad. Catch this. The Bible says you can control your own spirit. You can rule your own spirit. I cannot make you mad. Do you know that? I cannot make you mad. You are the one who will decide whether you're going to be angry and wrathful about what I do. The example that I use all the time, you've heard it before. If I brought a little child up here and that child spat in my face, would I be angry? No, he's a baby. Babies do that kind of stuff, right? But suppose adults, you came up and spat in my face. You think I'm just going to pat you on the back and say, that's all right, I understand. You see, I've got the choice. I make that decision. It's not that somebody spat in my face. It's that I look at the situation and I make a determination. Is this something I want to get angry about or is it not? You see, the word says, I can control my spirit. And better is the man who can control his own spirit than somebody who takes and conquers a city. So don't be running around talking about they made me mad. I couldn't help myself. Had to do what I had to do. I shared with you my story about the friend I had in Boulder, Colorado. We were sitting in church forget what somebody did. I think they put a tack under her seat. I don't know if they did it on purpose or not. I think they did. But anyway, she sat down on that thing and she let out some stuff that church had never heard before. And what she said was, "I'm sorry, y'all, but I just got to put my religion down for a moment. Say what I got to say." But you see, she had a choice. Amen? But see, we were there at choir rehearsal. Just us folks. I guarantee you, if the pastor had been there, she would have reconsidered what she said. Amen? She had a choice. We can control our spirits. We can control ourselves. Nobody makes us angry. We're the ones who decide. How many of you have ever been angry with your boss? Angry with your boss. All right. How many of you ever walked up to him and at the top of your lungs you told him off? How many of you did that? Okay, and what was the next job you had? You realize, I tell my boss off, there will be consequences to this. I'll be down at the unemployment line telling them off. And so what do? Even though you feel angry, even though that emotion is working within you, you control the expression of your anger. You see, you're in control. We have the ability to control our own spirits. So number one, the word says that we are to be slow to anger. We need to make that choice. Proverbs 19:11. Look at this. Here it is. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. The discretion of a man, the choice that man or that woman makes, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. We have the choice. The second thing, we need to take time to think and to pray and to get our emotions under control. We saw in Nehemiah that when Nehemiah was angry, in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 7, it says, after serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers. He took time. He stepped back from his anger. He didn't allow his anger to cause him to act. Didn't let his anger dictate what he said. He stopped, stepped back, thought about it, and I'm sure prayed about it, and allowed God to direct him on how to handle the situation. And so if we want to react rightly to anger, we need to step back and ask the Lord, "Lord, please, show me what I need to do to remove the cause of this anger. How should I change it? What should I do? Give me the wisdom that I need." Psalm 37, verse 8. Look at this. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. How many of you, when you get angry, that's all you think about? Over and over again. You're mad. Let me tell you something. I used to be. This is the way I used to be now. I'm not this way anymore, most of the time. Praise God. But if you made me really angry, I'd still have a nice smile on my face most of the time. I wouldn't get loud. I wouldn't say nasty things to you. But if you could hear what was going on in my mind, every flaw that you ever had, I was going over it and magnifying it. And by the time in my mind I got through with you, you were worth about 2 cents. And you know, every once in a while I just let my imagination roll, you know. And I'd see somebody coming into your room and taking out a .38 and just boom, blowing you away. Now, you know, I didn't feel like I was going to do that myself, but I thought I'd kind of enjoy it if it happened. What was going on? See, I wasn't letting it come out. I was keeping it inside. But what was going on inside was I was fretting over it all the time, thinking about it all the time, making you worse and worse in my mind all the time. And God says, don't fret. Stop fretting about your anger. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Don't fret. It only causes harm. You got to control your thoughts. Amen. You got to turn your thoughts. Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest. And it goes on and it says several positive things, and it says, think on these things. You've got to turn your thoughts. You can't keep going over it and over it and over again. Third thing, you've got to make sure your attitude is right. Go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. When somebody is wrong, they really are wrong, and they've done something that really offends you, really hurts you, something that has really caused you to be angry, we have to forgive. Forgiveness is not easy, amen? See, forgiveness is not saying, oh, it's all right, don't worry about it. Forgiveness is saying, I recognize that what you did is absolutely wrong, but I am no longer going to hold it over your head. I release you from that. Number four, ask the Lord for help in controlling your attitude and your mouth. Amen. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so what do you need to be asking the Lord? Psalm 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Lord, if I'm left to myself, I know I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. Help me. That's a modern day translation of that verse. Ask the Lord for help to control your attitude and your mouth. Number five, be willing to confess your own faults and your own responsibility in the situation. How many of you understand that in any situation where something goes wrong, it is almost never 100% one person's fault? Amen? We need to be willing to confess our own faults. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Be willing to confess your own fault. And that takes us to number 6. No blame shifting, please. No blame shifting. When you get caught and you know you're wrong, what's your first tendency? Find somebody else to blame. Number 7, here's the last one. Take immediate action to deal with the situation. Remember that the purpose of anger, the purpose for which God gave us anger, is that we might be motivated to make the changes in the situation that need to be made. That's what the anger is there for. Deal with it, but deal with it in the right way. Be angry and sin not.